Well, hello, hello, and welcome back to Get to Know Grace. I'm Pastor Rachel, and I'm so excited to be joined today by Amy Baker. We're going to have a great conversation, some time to get to know one another, and for all of us to hear a little bit more about Amy's story and God's presence in that story. So thank you so much for being here, everyone. Let's just jump right into it. I'm so excited. Thanks for being here today, Amy.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
Yes.
So let's start with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you so much for gathering us together again in this way, for all who are listening and for Amy and myself who are gathered together physically. We just give you thanks for this community gathered in these fun and new ways. As we all listen this day, as we all ponder and receive your presence in Amy's good life, be with us. Keep our hearts, minds, spirits, and ears opened so that we may look to and be inspired by your work in Amy's life, your presence, your comfort, your grace, your goodness in all things. As we listen, as we live, as we play, as we grow, be with us. Be with us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome, Amy. Welcome to this time where we just chat. I'm so excited. You're
Thanks
here.
For having me.
Yes. So let's get started with an easy question that has a big answer. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what you want the people of Grace Lutheran to know about you.
Yes. So I was born and raised in Washington State, and I grew up in Spanaway and grew up at Spanaway Lutheran, was baptized, confirmed, married there. My mom and dad, so there's my mom and dad, and then I have an older sister, Sarah, who's 3.5 years older.
Okay.
So we both were active in the church. My parents were, you know, doing all sorts of fun things in the church. One special time growing up was when I was in second grade. There was a church in Alaska that burned down, and
I just smiled big because you said Alaska, but I shouldn't smile big about a burned down church. I'm so sorry. Please continue.
So it was on Shishmaref, which a small little island north of Nome. For anybody listening that doesn't know where that is.
Yes.
So my dad was into construction, so he went up there for 6 weeks.
Okay.
And my mom and sister and I went up for 2 weeks, and the village all came together and helped build this church.
That was the first
real, like, mission-driven thing of my life, and it was led by my father. My father was the one that really encouraged us to go and was the true example of, you know, bringing the villagers together and putting up the walls of the church. And during this time, my sister and I attended school there just for a week. And so her and I are both blondes.
Mm-hmm.
We were obviously in different grades, but sitting in the class, and these children that have very dark hair would come by and break their pencils so they could touch my hair.
Wow.
They had never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
And so it was at that time that I was like, Mom, what's happening with this? Why are they doing that?
Yeah.
You know, she'd explain what was happening. And it wasn't until later in my life that I realized what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was different at that time. And it was really a life lesson that took a while for me to fully understand and fully grasp that I was different, and that's okay. They needed to figure out what my hair felt like if it was different than theirs. Really a great lesson with that, and then the whole trip of just being there.
Yeah.
So my family was active in the community, at the church, always doing something. I was part of, you know, cross country and track, and my parents would come and watch that. Just really active in our lives and such. So then I went off to college, and I went to Eastern Washington University over in Cheney. Sure. And I went there for 2 years, and right after the second year, my friend Amy said, let's join the military. And I said, okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so I did all the things that I needed to do to get that going.
Yeah.
And I called her up and I said, Amy, guess what I just did? And she's like, yeah, about that. I changed my mind.
No!
And I was like, well, I'm all in at this point and I'm not backing out. So I took a quarter off from school and went off to basic training in San Antonio, and then to technical school in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to come back to school in the fall and continue my education. And since I just joined the reserves, I was able to just do one weekend a month. Oh. And so I would come over, I would fly on oh my goodness, I forgot what plane we were on. It was the Guard's plane, so it was different than the C-17 or the C-41. Okay. So for anybody listening, if you can get back to me on that, let me know.
Someone Google it and let us know.
Yes.
I'm sure those brain cells have moved on to more things, like different things now at this point in your life.
Yes. Yeah, I absolutely can't remember that plane, but it was the Guard's cargo plane. And so I would come over to McCord one weekend a month and do my duty, and then they would fly me back on the same plane back, and I would go to school back on Monday.
Sure.
So it was an easy job to get some income, and then I also got the GI Bill during that time.
Sure.
So so then I graduated even within the 4-year period of time.
Nice.
So I graduated
good
with
that's awesome.
So I graduated with a bachelor's in recreational therapy, and I chuckle. My first job was at a nursing home, and I didn't really like it. That's so bad.
That's totally fair, though. It's not everybody's gift or cup of tea or favorite thing. That's totally fair.
And it was at that moment that I told myself, my parents will never be in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And even as recently, my dad was going through some health issues. Mm-hmm. I even told him, Dad, I will make sure that you are not in a nursing home. And he said, thank you, Amy. I appreciate that. So anyways, I was only there for 2 weeks because right after I got the job, I got another job, which I really wanted, was to be a recreational therapist at St. Joe's Hospital in Tacoma on the rehab unit.
Sure.
So I ended up being at St. Joe's for about 3 years, and then I got the job with Providence and was a recreational therapist for about 12 years. And I decided to make a change in my life. There were things that were happening in my personal life that just weren't good. The job was not good. And it was really a struggle at that point to, where is my life going? What am I supposed to do? I'm not happy. I'm really struggling.
Yeah.
with a lot of different things, and a job. I was praying like crazy, like, please just like open the door if something is available. Like, I can't do this job anymore, but I can't just quit because, right. of course, money was, of course, is needed in life.
Absolutely. Right.
So then there was a dear friend that also worked for the same company that said, I think there may be an opportunity in housing. And so I was like, okay. I went for an interview, and it was just the perfect fit.
Oh, good.
It was the perfect fit, and I knew that it was all God's timing and all of His work put together. So I started that job, and the piece that I struggled was, this isn't what I went to school for. This isn't what I went to school for. I wasted that time in school. This is my thought process. This is the devil talking to me. You know, this isn't what I should be doing. But as I have been in the position, it's come to light that I am right where I need to be in so many ways. And I'm so thankful to be there. There's been changes, but I really feel like I'm doing God's work even when I'm at work. And there's tough times at work, but I'm like, this is where I need to be. And the reassurance that I get from that is far outweighs any of the traumatic and difficult times during that. And I'm very thankful to God that this whole process, and if I only could take that scenario and put it in other avenues of my life, what could I be doing in my life as a result? So listeners, please pray for that piece of my life, that I will just sit presently and patiently, as Pastor Chad would say, and listen to God as I should.
It strikes me when you were saying that, that sometimes when we have a big shift in what we think our trajectory should be, that it feels like our path until that point can sometimes feel like a waste of time, because it's not what we thought it was going to be. But we still had to walk that path to get to where we're at. That we still had to, you still had to go through, maybe if you had done a different program, you might have ended up in this job, but it's hard to imagine. There's so many what ifs then, if you think about, like, well, if I didn't go to Eastern, or if I didn't get recreation, like, if you didn't do all of those things, would you have found this job? It's hard to know. And so, looking back, like, retroactively, it's really easy to say, oh, that had to happen for me to get here. And thank God it did. And it's so much harder in the midst of that to say, I'm on my way towards something better. Like, this is just the journey to where I'm going. It's harder to look at that when you're in the midst of it.
It is.
Because it's so hard to look up from the pain, the worry, the overwhelmingness, the anxiety, the general, this isn't where I wanted to be, or this isn't what I wanted to do.
Correct.
Like, it's so hard to look outside of that until you get to a place like you are right now in employment. But yeah, when it comes to personal stuff too, it's the same. It's, well, in order to get to a place of stability, healthiness, whatever it is, like, we had to live the journey before, and it's hard.
It's it was really hard. But it's really, because of that change, it really changed the whole dynamic of my life. And so now I'm gonna jump into that.
Yes.
And and I'll go back to
absolutely
this this part of my life. So I met my husband online.
I love it.
Yes.
I'm hearing more and more stories of folks here at church who met online. Like,
yes.
Like Jason and Lindsay just last week.
Yes. Yeah. So I just randomly went on one day and I had been talking to a couple other guys and I was like, this isn't right. And then Bob showed up and we talked for quite a while, just, you know, just online email and stuff.
Yeah.
Mind you, this is almost 20 years ago.
Sure.
So we decided to meet, and so we met at Claim Jumper in South Center.
Nice.
And on a Sunday afternoon, and I said, how do I know you're not going to, like, lure me into your car and kill me?
Accurate. That's a fair question.
And he said, I wouldn't do it on the first date. I'd wait for the second date.
To lure you into a false sense of security. And
yes.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
Yes. So then during that date, my mom calls and says, is everything okay?
Oh.
Mom, everything is just fine. If you could only meet him, just wait.
Yes.
And basically the rest is history because we really never left each other's side.
Yeah.
So then we were married about 2 years later.
Okay.
And so when we wanted to get married, we were in the process of buying our house.
Sure.
And we wanted to buy the house before we got married because we're like, we don't want to rent. We're ready to find a house.
Yeah.
And we were using the VA loan. And they said,
sure,
you have to be married in order to buy the house. Mm. What kind of rule is that? Seriously.
Yeah.
So we kind of brainstormed and my parents were back in Alaska on vacation.
Sure.
And they were out of cell range service, so I couldn't get in touch with them while this is all going on.
Yeah.
And so I reached out to my grandma, my mom's mom, and I said, what do you think I should do? And she's like, just go down to the courthouse and get married.
Yes.
And don't tell anybody.
Sign the paper and have the party later.
Yes. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to call my mom's best friend and ask her. And so she said the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, just go do it on paper.
Yeah.
But then I finally got in touch with my mom, and my mom rattled off all these things that we could do. And then I said, Mom, but I talked to Grandma, and I talked to your friend, and she's like, oh, well then, okay. How about the pastor that is going to marry you in later, marry you on Sunday afternoon? And so I called him up, and I said, hey, can you marry us on Sunday afternoon? And he said, he laughed and he said, I've never married a couple so fast because they wanted to buy a house.
Yeah.
And I said, well, can you just do it? So that Sunday afternoon we got married and the same people that were going to be with us by our side on the big day were there that day.
Sure.
So then we went back to my parents' house and had a little reception. So then when our big day came around, mind you, when that was all going around, we had already sent out our invitations and I had already had my final fitting for my dress.
Sure.
So it was already set that we were going to have this. This was August and our wedding was planned for October.
Oh, okay. So it's like, it's coming up. It's not a year out.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so the real wedding was August 18th and I cried and cried like, so this is awesome. And then when we had the big ceremony, I'm like, I'm already married. This is just fun.
I've already done this. I'm a pro.
And it worked out great.
I love that.
It was like, it was just a relief knowing that this is just for us to experience, for family to celebrate with us.
All the pressure is gone then.
Yes.
It's just for fun.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. So there's people that have now passed away that still don't know the truth. They assume that the October date is the real deal. Little do they know that we were really married 2 months earlier.
Oh, I love that. That's hilarious.
Yes, yes. So, and we're still in the house to this day.
Wow.
Yes. And so August will be 20 years for us. We've been married.
Congratulations.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. So online really does work.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. It's how I met my fiance. It's how, you know, multiple couples here have met.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love, too, that there are certainly, like, cultural or sort of familial, quote-unquote, rules on how to do relationships and, like, VA rules about what you can do with your loan if buying a house and things like that. Those rules exist. But it really is up to the people in the relationship to figure out what's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, online works.
Mm-hmm.
Buying a house before marriage works.
Mm-hmm.
Getting married at the courthouse and then throwing a big party later, it works. Like, just however it works to celebrate love and to build a life that is honoring of you both is the way to do it. Like, that's the only rule I feel like we should have, is how to honor the people in the relationship, celebrate love, and build a life that is supportive and exciting and lovely.
We didn't actually move in until after we were married.
Sure,
But because the things that were in that house were terrible.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to do, we wanted to, you know, move in together as a married couple.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. Anyways, so then Maddie was born 3 years later.
Okay.
And she was baptized here.
Yeah.
And then this was the difficult part of the time where I was struggling with my job.
Mm-hmm.
We were struggling with infertility.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that combined just really created havoc on all of our lives. Multiple miscarriages, multiple rounds of IVF, and then we got approved to be foster parents, and this little guy, I'm gonna name him Johnny.
Johnny, great, yeah.
Johnny, people listening may know his real name, but that's okay, I'm just gonna go by Johnny.
That works.
He came into our life, and oh dear. He was 2 when he came, and he was like 3 2-year-olds combined energy level, and just really a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We would come to church so he could go to nursery, so we could have a break.
Sure.
It was intense.
Yeah.
And the things that the state wants you to do, and it was really, really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most difficult times of my life, of just caring for this child. And I wish with all my heart that I could have allowed him to stay in our lives, in our family, and ultimately adopt him.
Mm-hmm.
And I really struggled with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was obvious it was not a good fit.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, the day came that I needed to bring him to the caseworker for the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to do everything in my power before I give him over to set him up for success.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Pastor O'Neill and I said, can you do a blessing for Johnny before I have to give him back? And of course, he was like, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't feel right doing a baptism, but I knew that a blessing over him would be okay.
Yeah.
And so Dorsey Marks met us here, and so it was the four of us in the sanctuary, and he did a blessing over Johnny. And then shortly after that, I took him to the caseworker.
Okay.
And since then we've learned that he's been adopted into a home.
Oh, good.
And but we will always remember our time with little Johnny. And shortly after he was out of our home, I learned that I was pregnant with Olivia.
Wow.
So Johnny was in our life for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of emotions that go with it.
Yeah.
And yes, so Olivia was born and we started the journey of caring for her and her cystic fibrosis and really, 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 really having to lean on God during that time, that this is a challenge. We were so thankful that, you know, we were even blessed with her in the first place.
Yeah.
And just learning to care for her. It's not easy, but there's amazing medicine in the world and great doctors.
Yeah.
And Seattle Children's has been amazing support for us.
Good.
So I was at my new job in housing when Johnny came into our life.
Yeah.
So I said I was going to get back to this part of it. So I believe that team helped me get through the experience of Johnny being in our house and then ultimately getting pregnant with Olivia.
Yeah.
The timing of all of this, of the new job and this, I don't feel like I could have done that had I been at the other job.
Yeah.
So it was great timing in all of that. That's where we are.
Yeah. The timing of that makes me think I've not always, and apologies to anyone listening who has a really, you know, emotional attachment to this saying, but I've never really sat well with the phrase that God never gives us more than we can handle, because I don't like the idea of God giving us challenges, like God, like, making our lives harder. I don't love that idea. I think life's hard enough. We don't need God piling on top of us. What I love, though, is a counter phrase that I've heard sometimes, is that God never allows us to carry it alone, or that God is always with us in the challenging stuff of life. And that maybe it feels like something releases so that we have the energy to look at something else, or to really invest in something else. So having some tension, some stress at work release so that you can be focused on caring for Johnny and caring for Maddie and preparing for Olivia. Like, yes, that means your plate's shifting and making it possible to do all this. But at the same time, you have this team. Like, that's where I see God as team in that, and your support in that to make it through. That it was never that God was piling on so much onto your shoulders at one time, and more just, I'm here with you. And I just see the holy in that. I just think that's beautiful.
And it wasn't just God in carrying us. Yeah. It was also grace as a church. And that's why we keep coming back. We found grace when we drove by. We went to the Sunday night service.
Sure.
But we keep coming back because of what the church has done for us. Mm-hmm. And that's why we want to do as much as we can with everything that's going on. We want to help and serve and be a part because we were recipients of it at one point.
Yeah.
So we found grace.
Yes. Yeah.
We were looking for a church anyways.
Sure.
And growing up Lutheran, it was only fair. Bob grew up Catholic and he made the choice. Okay, it's similar. Lutheran is fine.
Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah. So we because of my reserve duty, we attended the Sunday night evening service.
Sure.
And Olivia would, not Olivia, Maddie would come with us, and she would be crawling around on the floor. Mm-hmm. Even Marlene still talks about it. Hi, Marlene. Oh, I remember when she was coming to the Sunday night service, it just great atmosphere, and it just, because of that service, we hung on and met some really great people.
Yeah.
Just from that service, we always sat in the same spot with the same couple, and they're still here today, which is great to connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we became members shortly after we found the church and have been here ever since.
Oh,
haven't left. We'll continue to come back. Our kids are invested.
Yeah.
And we want the same thing that we had growing up.
Yeah.
We want the same thing for them. And Maddie's pretty much already done 3/4 of it already.
Yeah.
So she's almost there, or 2/3 of it almost there. So and she loves being here.
Good. Oh, I love seeing Maddie and the whole crew of just the whole youth group just like hanging out. When I was growing up, we never really sat as a youth group during church. You always sat with your family.
Correct.
You always sat with your siblings. And I love that there's always I was going to say a gaggle of youth, but that's not even what, they're just a group. It's just a community of youth hanging out upstairs and I love that they have that and to be able to be together in that way and then to have Wednesday nights and just like all the fun stuff coming up in the summer, mission trips and camp trips and all of it to have that community is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. Yeah. It's interesting to hear them talk about being up on top because Maddie, I don't know if Tessa knows this, but they try.
Watch out, Tessa.
They try and get her to crack while she's singing.
Yes.
So a couple Sundays ago, there was some song and Maddie came home and she's like, we almost got Tessa to crack.
Oh, I'm sure she knows. She has to know.
She does.
I'm sure. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes.
Tessa's often smiling up there, and I just think she's happy, but maybe she's just holding in, like... maybe she's also happy.
Yes. Yes. Part of it
is... Oh, that's hilarious.
Are the kids up top, trying 100%. To get her to respond.
To
yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
When you were talking about part of the reason you come back is just the what you've received and then just wanting to build something similar for your girls and then also wanting to be a part of the community, it just makes me, this Sunday, quick little plug, this Sunday I'm preaching on the story of Mary washing Jesus' feet, anointing his feet with oil and perfume, and I just can't get this idea out of my head about how the kingdom of God doesn't work like the world around us in so many ways, but focused this week on how generosity creates more generosity, of like Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. This is Lazarus's sister, and she's so overwhelmed with gratitude that she does this incredible servant move towards Jesus. And that's really what the kingdom of God is about, is we've been gifted this incredible thing, this incredible thing of God's love and grace, and we can never repay that. I think so much of our society is, well, you gave me goods and services, so I'll repay you in kind, and it's that transactional thing. And we just can't ever measure up or sort of equalize out that. But it's not out of like a guilt or shame, you owe me anything kind of relationship. It's this beautiful to live into the grace and love of God means to just extend it to the next person. It's paying it forward as opposed to paying it back.
And it's really the desire.
Yes.
Like people have the desire. They want to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of God's love and grace.
Yes, because of the extravagant, that's the word I was looking for. Because of the extravagant love you experience first, you then are just reacting out of that as opposed to trying to pay it back at all. And I hear that in your words about why you're here at Grace, and that's what we're trying to build, is a community like that, where it's, we just lavish love and grace out into the world, and when it comes back, it feels great, but that's not why we do it. We just love because of the love we first experienced.
And that's really what we're trying to teach Maddie and Olivia in life. Like, give. Just give of your time, give of your talents. And if you get something back in return, great. But don't expect it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, well, that just jumped straight into the second question. So, check done. We did that. So, let's jump into our third question, which is... listeners will know, and you and I have talked about this a little bit too, that the name of the podcast is Get to Know Grace, because we're not only learning about Grace Lutheran, we're also talking about God's grace active in our lives. So tell us about a time when God's grace showed up, was super active in a way that really made a big difference in your life.
Well, I already answered that question.
And you're so right.
And that was the time when Johnny was in our house. I really felt like God's grace showed up, because the weekend before he left, the Friday before he left, I was going to work, and I sobbed from the bus stop into work, because I was so emotional about not being able to care for him and not being able to be able to keep him long term. Just and all the sleepless nights and the things that the state had required was just really a lot. And my family and Bob's family, they were so supportive during that time. I got off the bus and I went into Target at the Starbucks downtown. There's a Starbucks in there. And I got to the counter and I couldn't even order my drink. I was so just like upset, a lot of emotions. And the sweet barista, she said, I finally was able to get out what I wanted. She's like, it's okay. I got this one for you. I hope you have a better day. And so as I'm exiting Target, this random businessman stopped me and he's like, are you okay? And I've never had that experience before. And he was so sincere. Are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. Really, I wasn't, and he knew that I wasn't fine. But later we were able to let him go, and it was God's grace during that time that we got through to the end and were able to have that blessing for him. It was the most challenging times of our lives. Yeah. It's a whole nother podcast of the things that we went through and did with Johnny. But God's grace showed up and really carried us through beyond that time when we needed it so bad.
Yeah.
A challenging time that I am glad we went through, and I'm glad that we had God's grace during that time, because we couldn't have done it without it.
Yeah.
We couldn't have gone through that time.
Yeah.
So, how can a 2-year-old create so much chaos? But on the flip side, God's grace protected us and pulled us through. God's grace showed up when we really, 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 really needed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen to that.
And to this day, Maddie's like, it was a really difficult time for her as well. And she said, please, let's not ever get a foster child again. just left scars. But true lesson of God's grace is what she got out of it as well.
The again, the presence within the difficulties, the presence within the trauma and the scarring and all of that is what gets us through and helps us survive and helps us to find the hope in it and the good in it and not just, again, not something that's easy to point to in the midst of it, but hopefully in whatever scarring or traumatic experience we're experiencing, the hope is always that we live long enough to see something good come from it, some resurrection life, because that's what we hope for, it's what we cling to, and so often it's what helps us get through the crap and the heaviness and the trauma, to say, not to meaning make out of pain, not to say that pain is worth it, or not to say that the hurt and the tears are worth it, but to get to the other side and say, okay, it wasn't all awful. It wasn't all trauma. There was some good there, too.
And there was.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing. This has been wonderful. This has been so good. Thank you for sharing of your story and your heart and your walk with God and your walk with your family and all of it.
Yes, you're welcome.
Well, and dear listeners, thank you so much for walking along with us, for being a part of this journey, this day. May you go from this time pondering something anew. May something in Amy's story have sparked something in yours that needs maybe further reflection or healing or just affirmation of you're doing a good job, you're doing good work. Hang in there. It's all worth it. Until next week, dear listeners, take care. Join us again next week. Like always, we'll have another great Get to Know Grace guest. That's so many G's. It's a fun alliteration, but it's so hard to say every time. Join us next week. We'll be here. Until then, God's grace go with you. God's peace is yours. Hang in there. Sending lots of love your way. Take care.